Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hi everyone, Dr. Adam Christman here. Welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. And this week I have Dr. John Geller with me. He is the National Director and Founder of Street Talk Coalition. And you may be asking yourself, wow, I don't think I've ever heard that before. And we're going to talk about that today. So welcome, John.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. I think what you're doing is fantastic. And I really want to make sure we shed some light on it and educate the audience a little bit about what you're doing. So tell me a little bit about what you exactly do.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. It seems like veterinarians hearing about it, they want to get involved. Kind of unofficially introducing specialty called street medicine, which is obviously not a real specialty, but in human medicine, it's definitely a new field, a subspecialty. And it's really taken medicine to the people, or to the pets in this case, but really it also means we're kind of also working both ends of the leash, meaning when we go out in the street and provide this care with a community that's unsheltered and experiencing homelessness, a lot of issues pop up related to the relationship between that pet and that person, especially how strong their bond is. So we're kind of dealing with both in kind of this triangle. We're trying to help the pet owners out as well. We've taken the financial barriers away, so all of the services are at no cost. That's a major barrier, but we've kind of discovered there's other barriers and that we're working on too as an organization, which has to be transportation, for example. So many cities don't allow larger pets to travel on buses, so they can't even get to our events. But basically, our core mission is providing free veterinary care to pets of those experiencing homelessness.
And tell me a little bit more about that street medicine in general. How did that start?
Well, my background actually is an emergency doctor, and did that for 20 years in a couple different busy emergency clinics. Got to be pretty high tech. Anybody who's worked emergency knows that probably the stressor for the veterinarian isn't so much doing the medicine, because we have so much help with imaging blood work, but it's dealing with the cost of the medicine and estimates going back and forth, stressing out the client. So now we're also dealing with that issue as well. And so it's, for me personally, it was taking the money piece away from it, so no money does change hands at our clinics. And street medicine is back to basics medicine, which means history, physical exam, and a couple of basic diagnostics are all we have to work on. And it's kind of a different approach. Instead of a rule out medicine, which we do in emergency, where we can just start ruling things out with imaging and blood tests, et cetera, it's more best guess medicine. What are we, what's most likely, and always underlining that with the do no harm caveat.
Have you been seeing an increase in the amount of pet parents that need street medicine during this pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the number of, there's estimated, the official count of homelessness in the United States is about 500,000, but it's probably twice that because so many people are uncounted.
Right.
And that number in many cities, especially in California, is going up pretty significantly because evictions, et cetera, have led to an increase in the homeless population. And, you know, we call them unsheltered too, just to get away from that stigma of homelessness. But yeah, the need is great, and combined with what's going on with COVID and the economics surrounding it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about in terms of these events that you have? How does that work? How do you let the community know that you're going to be in their areas and helping them with the vaccine clinic or checkups and things like that?
Sure. We work closely with homeless services in different cities, and so we have teams set up in 40 cities. So we usually connect with a homeless shelter or other homeless service, a day shelter, and we kind of do our marketing through them, because we're trying to limit our services to those who are unsheltered, experiencing homelessness, so we don't get overwhelmed with, you know, low income folks that have financial hardship. It's that number's in the tens of millions, probably, at least. And then when we're out working on the street, we do we have separate COVID protocols in place. So we're doing similar protocols to what is happening in veterinary hospitals now, except we use tables as kind of separators, as you know, as clients to wear masks, and we kind of have the exchange of where they give us the pet, and then we do need to work on the pet kind of behind in a separate area. So, and what's fun about it from a veterinary point of view is we're going beyond vaccine clinics and trying to do little mini workups, see what we can do in the field. We have gotten a few assists from some high-tech toys, you know, like a wireless ultrasound probe and a cardia app, you know, from an iPhone that does ECGs. But generally, it is back to basics. And there, for example, I'm going to Nashville. We're doing our first clinic in Nashville this Monday, which happens to be July 6th. And we're joining a large group, a large organization called People Loving Nashville. They're going to have 300 to 500 homeless individuals there, and it's quite a large event with a lot of logistics. And so we're kind of setting up separately, but people are going to be able to get multiple services at that one event. And we love to be at things like that, where they're getting food, they're getting clothing, they're getting some basic health care, they're getting showers, they're getting haircuts, they're, you know, getting legal aid. And when we can fit into a big picture like that, we think it's perfect. It's really kind of a One Health format.
I was just going to say, it's exactly like a One Health format. It really is. And I love, when we were talking last week about this, is that, you know, no human should be deprived of the human animal bond. And, you know, with what you're doing, let me tell you, I mean, like, my hat off to you, because, you know, it's expensive to veterinary medicine can be expensive, but it shouldn't be limited to just those that can afford and have the means to do it. I mean, these guys need and live only for their fur baby, you know, have that purpose of just living with them and getting along this tough life. So, I mean, it's got to be very fulfilling and gratifying.
Yeah, it really is. I'd almost call it, there's so many issues that intersect in veterinary medicine right now, but I'd almost call it therapeutic. Yeah. For someone that has experienced potentially some burnout due to financial pressures that come up in the veterinary setting. I believe it has been therapeutic for veterinarians. We have a fair amount of specialists that like to do it too. Just getting away from the high tech and the dollars and finances and the pressures and the long days and so forth. So personally it is. And it's been interesting because I started off, you know, wanting to really focus on the pets of these folks, but I've kind of moved up the leash to the other end when I realized that many of them are just saying, you know, if it wasn't for my pet, I would probably kill myself. So, I mean, they're using pretty direct language. Right. And then we started working with homeless veterans and made that a focus too. So that's almost a separate topic, but there are about 30,000 homeless veterans still on the street. That number hasn't changed that much. And still about 20 to 22 per day commit suicide. So when you do the crunching, that's a much higher suicide rate than public and certainly more higher than even veterinarians have been documented to have.
Yeah, that's really disturbing to hear. But if there's anything that you could do to help improve the human-animal bonds, this is one way of you guys doing it with street medicine. How does one get involved with this?
You know, it's I basically get emails from veterinarians that hear about it through the Street Dog Coalition at gmail.com or through our website, thestreetdogcoalition.org. So if you just type in street dog, it'll come to us. And if there's a need in a particular city, we do have to establish the need. We've had a few places where the homeless population just isn't enough to support our efforts. But even smaller cities, you know, 100,000, 200,000, can have a significant homelessness issue, and about 10% of those folks have pets usually. So we can kind of calculate it, but we're not high volume. We like if we have a clinic between 10 and 30 pets, we can spend the required time and show that owner, you know, kind of I look at it as a respect issue, just taking the time to have a conversation with them versus setting up a more of an assembly line similar to a vaccine clinic.
Yeah. And where would you be able to, or where do you get the funds to help support this cause for street medicine?
You know, we initially kind of just scrambled and did little local grants and things like that. Now we took the next step as a nonprofit, which is, it's a big learning curve for me, but we hired a grant writer. So hiring a good grant writer has really been more successful for us, so that we're not spending time on grant writing. But there are definitely grants out there because we intersect between homelessness, veterans issues, and pets. So there's some pretty good access to funding.
Nice. I know that a lot of the veterinary graduates tend to be very interested in giving back to the community and doing something like this. So it's good that you mentioned that. Is it just one veterinarian that's part of this? Like, you spearheading it? Are there multiple throughout the country that work with you?
So we definitely try to make this a big team effort. So we have 40 team leads, each one in a different city, but even within those team leads have their own team. So it's kind of like that, you know, term team of teams. So we'll have multiple veterinarians, say in San Diego, where we actually have three teams going, and then they'll actually rotate. So it's not a burden to any one veterinarian, but usually it's at the most, it's a monthly enterprise. And for some, they'll do two or three street clinics a year, which is great if people show up to them. You know, the average number of visits to a veterinarian should be about one to two a year for preventive health. And just so you know, we do, if we get a case that we can't deal with in the field, we'll refer it someplace, and we have a separate funding that we're developing to cover the costs of that follow-up care.
And do the homeless, are they provided with records of vaccination from their pet?
We've developed, we give them a durable discharge card, which has that information. We maintain a paper medical record, which we can scan in. So our records are actually pretty good, but they're also minimal and simple. And we found that in the homeless community, a lot of records get lost, rabies tags get lost, and even medications we dispense get stolen. So we have to deal with that challenge. But we do try to give them that information so they can follow up some other time, some other place, some other city if they have to.
Oh, it's good to know. Dr. John Geller, so we can find you at, where can we find you?
thestreetdogcoalition.org. Okay. And you can find me in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Fort Collins, Colorado, there it is. Yeah,
look me up for sure. I'd be glad to show you what we do.
Yeah, you've been so monumental and helpful with advancing veterinary profession in this area. So thank you for all that you're doing.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot, Adam. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for being on the show, and everybody for tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next time on the Vet Blast podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.